overwhelming. I mean, that Proverbs woman does everything from cleaning to starting companies to making sure all the servants are taken care of to milking cows and goats and butchering all things and coloring yarn and being with her husband in the city gates. And you sort of just go, oh, okay, that's not for me, right? That's usually the way we think. And then I thought Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Write that down. Genesis 1, chapter or verses 20, 26 through 28. Read it today. The Word of God says to subdue and rule over the earth. The Word of God says there that God, the Father, and the Son gathered together, and he said this, let's make men and women in our image. So today, ladies, you're image bearers of God. And God said, let's make them and mankind in our own image. Just think about that. That sort of ends the argument of who is good or better or stronger or wiser, men or women. God says, no. I've made both of you to be image bearers of me. Equal, yet different. Ladies, do you understand your calling? But then I thought we've been working through Matthew, and so I thought this would probably be a little bit more encouraging. In fact, if you've been going through the Beatitudes, the next section will be love your enemies, and I thought that probably isn't a good one for Mother's Day, but maybe this will work for you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 26 through the following, through 30. Hear the word of God this morning. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then hear these words. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Not just bodies, souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, and Lord, I just ask right now that the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you. Most of all, Lord, I ask that you would refresh and nourish, especially the moms and the ladies who are here today. But Lord, for all of us who have skin, may we walk out of here knowing you better and understanding your heart and what you long for us as a people. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're going to do. Father, I ask that literally I would disappear and you would come in and be mighty and powerful and glorious and good. Would you refresh us now, your sheep, in Jesus' name, amen. It's an amazing scripture, and one of the things that strikes me, this passage is for all of us here today, just not moms, but I truly believe we live in a world that there is more and more pressure to succeed, there's more and more pressure to conquer, there's more and more pressure to control, and I really do think we need to find some biblical balance. And so in this passage of Scripture, we see it in verse 25, Jesus is talking to the Father, and he says, just basically, Lord, thank you. Thank you that the gospel is not for the top of the class. I mean, this is graduation time now, and who is the people that get the top? Cum laudes? Summa cum laudes. When Ethan graduated, there were 17 of them. And he looked at me and said, Dad, I don't even know who these kids are. I think they lived in the library. I mean, just an amazing idea there. But do you realize the gospel isn't for the top of the class? Jesus says, thank you. You've revealed the gospel to us children, little children who can understand. And then he goes a little bit farther than that and says, thank you for our relationship, Father. Thank you that you revealed yourself to me. And now you're revealing yourself to the people that you brought before me. And he literally speaks and says, boy, I wish my people would listen and respond. And for some of you who are here today and you're wondering what like God the Father is like, I would challenge you to just recognize that Scripture says, if you want to know what the Father looks like, take a look at the Son, because they're mirror images of one another. So what a great way for today to begin. But then it says these words in verse 28, and we're going to focus most of our time here today. It says, come to me. Do you ever stop and think that there is honestly an order to experiencing God? So often I hear people say, I don't know what God wants, or I'm not sure if God's around, and I've been chasing after all these other things, and he doesn't seem to be there. And Jesus is literally saying, would you just come to me? Would you be willing to respond? Do you realize when we approach God his way, you will find rest for your heart and your minds and your souls? Come to me when you're ready. Come to me. Who does it say? It says, come to me all, everyone in this room, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, the words there certainly deal with salvation, but just do you hear the power of those words? Come to me, all who are at the place of utter exhaustion. Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. Come to me, all of you who just continually put more and more onto your schedules and to your hearts and to your learning and to your thinking. Come to me, all who are ready for rest. See, he's talking about salvation, but he's also talking about so much more. He is literally saying that the only way to receive salvation is to come through Christ. And for some of you who think that seems sort of exclusive, then these are his words and not mine. And if you would turn just a few seconds over to Acts chapter 4, it says this: salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name in heaven and earth given to men by which we might be saved. Isn't that amazing news for us? That if you're here today and you've been trying to please God and you're doing all of the right things and you're showing up at the right services, even you may be thinking if you give during the offering time, that gives you some brownie points, and you've even had your devotions and you've read all this stuff and you've read Pray More, Worry Less, and you're thinking that's what salvation is all about. And Jesus is saying, no. If you're weary of doing things, come and accept the free gift of salvation. It begins by coming. It begins by acknowledging your need. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, it begins by simply coming before him and saying, God, help me. I am weary. Would you show me the way? And in Jesus' name, would you come into my life and be my Lord and my leader? It begins with a simple scripture or a simple prayer that you cry out. But see, I believe the scriptures even go a step farther than that. Not only does Christ want to offer us salvation and a right relationship with God, but he wants to deal with us in the internal aspects of our lives. And this verse covers more than just salvation. It covers all of us who have ever found themselves weary and tired and overwhelmed. It covers all of you who may be sitting there thinking, you know, put a fork in it, I'm done. I can't continue on this pace anymore. And what does it say? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will put more on you. I will overwhelm you with rules and regulations, and I will just dump more and more guilt and shame upon your hearts and minds. Is that what the scripture says? No. Come to me, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. He literally says, I will come and bring refreshment and revive you in the circumstances where you find yourself. Isn't that an amazing promise? What if you began to believe that? Let me just ask you a question. How many of you, and I don't know if I'm going to ask you to raise your hands for this, but how many of you feel just as tired on Monday morning as you did on Friday afternoon? How many of you jump out of bed on Monday and go, yes, I get to go to work today? I mean, do you think that, or you're winding down on Friday, and you're winding down Wednesday. Okay, Lord, there's only two more days. If I can just get through these two more days, then Saturday will be here, and then Sunday, and then it starts all over again, right? And Jesus says, I want to share some truth with you today. He says, come and take my yoke and learn from me. What if we began to do that? What if we would come even this morning? You're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to come. Lord, I'm here today. I'm ready. I come ready to respond. Take my yoke And again, for most of us, since we don't live in a really farming community, the Amish use yokes, but most of us don't use yokes on an everyday basis. A yoke was simply a harness for pulling. An oxen would have them, a cow would have them, a donkey would have them, a horse would have them. You put that on, it protects their shoulders, but enables them to pull the plow behind them or pull the wagon. So Jesus isn't saying, I want my people to be really, really lazy. He's saying, I want my people to find balance, because when the yoke is right, the animal will be able to pull harder, but not become as weary. And so Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And then it says this word, learn from me. Learn from me. One of the things that struck me is that we're not a people that learn any longer. In fact, we're a people that, because of our educational system, but just how we do life, it's all about more and more and more information. It's about having more and more knowledge, and it's usually separated from the rest of life. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, not only come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, come to me, take my yoke, see the way I'm doing things, notice the way I'm ordering your life, learn from me, literally learn to apply. And so when Jesus says here, I want to give you rest for your souls, he literally says, and there's a way for you to experience that. But you have to do it his way. He says, I'm gentle and humble at heart. See, walking and living with God was never meant to be a burden. So if you're a mom here today, or you're a dad here today, or you're just a person here today, I want to just take a few moments and challenge you to think a little bit differently. Because I think most of us, if we're honest, we live unsustainable lives. I think most of us who are sitting in this room today literally believe the American lie that we can have everything we want at the time we want it. In fact, we not only believe that, we actually believe it's our right to have it our way. Who was that, McDonald's or Burger King that did that thing? You can have it your way, Burger King. That's right. And we literally live our lives that way. In fact, in New Jersey, it was really interesting because even at T-ball, in T-ball it was really fun because in T-ball in New Jersey, you don't keep score. I mean, I think that's a hilarious thing because you talk to the kids, they keep score. In fact, there would be little kids in shirts that would say things like this, second is the first place loser. I mean, we're worried about our kids figuring out the score of a T-ball game. They know exactly who's ahead or who's behind. Isn't that the truth? And so we end up, we rush and we run. We have out-of-control schedules. There's no margin. There's no reserve for unexpected and unanticipated circumstances and situations. And instead of resting God's way, how do we do it culturally? In today's day and age, it's easy. You go to the doctor, you get a sleeping pill. It's just the way things work. Or if you go to your doctor and you just say you're anxious or upset, and medications are good when they're properly used, but for a lot of us, it's just grab another Xanny and put that down with a glass of wine, or it's one more beer, or nowadays it's just give me one more joint at the end of my work schedule. We use food for comfort and relief. We use busyness simply to keep on moving so we don't have to think about how we're living. And Jesus says, I want my people to come and take my yoke and learn. See, I think more often than not, God actually gives us the abilities, but we aren't willing to listen or respond to it any longer because we actually think we're God and he doesn't know what's going on. In the scriptures, Jesus said, literally, this is the way you live your life. He said, for 6 days, I want you to conquer. I want you to be creative. I want you to control all that's going on around you. But that on that seventh day, I want you to stop and become dispensable. And let me just say here, the Sabbath is more than just a principle or a rule. It's literally a rhythm of life. And in Hebrews 4:11, it says this, make every effort to enter into his rest. So moms and dads, how do you do that? What does it look like? I could simply say to you, well, you need to reorder your life with an intentional thought about living a godly life. I mean, that sounds really good in a sermon point, doesn't it? Or just live life in a way that brings life and encouragement into your hearts and into your minds and into your family's lives. Or I could say things like this: set boundaries and honor them. Have holy times and days and periods of rest. Didn't that sound really good? You're going to remember that when you get out of here and it's Mother's Day and you need to go make sure you get that lunch. And then men, some of you need to stop by Sheetz and get that card before it's too late. And we push and we push and we push. I was reading about a guy that went to Israel, and it was really interesting because when you go to Israel, you actually do see shepherds and you see sheep and you see goats. And he was watching it one day, and he looked out and he saw this shepherd. And you know, if you read the scriptures, it says what? The shepherd leads and the sheep follow. And he actually saw the very opposite. He saw this shepherd that was behind the sheep, sort of pushing them through and guiding them through. And he went to the guide and said, "What's up with this? I thought shepherds lead and sheep follow, and yet I've seen more and more often, you know, there's a shepherd in the back and he's pushing them along." And the guy looked at him and said, "Well, the truth of the matter is, the shepherd is the one who leads. It's the butcher who drives." So he was watching all of these sheep being pushed to the butcher. Isn't that an amazing thing for us? Jesus leads, and the busyness of our lives is the butcher. Rest isn't simply taking a day off. It's literally when our souls connect with God. Rest isn't simply taking a day off. It's when our minds relax, because we've come to that place that we can trust in God and rely on Him to meet our needs. Isn't that an amazing idea? We don't talk about the soul very often, but I think we need to start talking about it more and more and more, because for a lot of us, it's simply taking a day off, and that's not what brings rest. It only happens when we begin to relax, when we begin to trust in God, when we begin to really believe that God can meet our needs. For those of you who have businesses and you have this temptation of always running, you know, there's a reason why Chick-fil-A is one of the fastest growing companies in America. And it's not because they simply have a good chicken sandwich. In fact, they're more expensive than most fast food places. But see, the founder realized that he needed to have a Sabbath day, and they close on Sunday. See, he's just simply following after God's patterns and rhythm. See, the Sabbath was not a rule, but a rhythm of life. It's not a rule, but a rhythm of life. Moms, if you're looking for rest, you need to figure out that rhythm of life, and I would challenge you to look at it through God's point of view. Let me give you some purposeful choices you can make, hopefully a little bit different from the top of the list. Practice stopping regularly. Rest. Practice stopping regularly and rest. Practice that place where you could acknowledge that you have a love and a reliance on God. What if you began to do that? Some of you are thinking, "I'm not sure I'm able to do that." One of the interesting things, if you learn church history, John Wesley's mom, I may be wrong, she had between 11 and 17 kids. That's amazing. And you know how she found rest? You can read through John Wesley's articles. His mom, during the day, was a devout follower of Christ, and she had a little chair or stool that she would sit on and put her apron over her head. And the kids knew, don't mess with mom when the apron's over her head. She took that time to pray and to cry out for her kids. She practiced stopping regularly. How many times throughout the day, or even throughout the week, do you stop and acknowledge your love for God? "Father, I love you." Or how many of you can even come before God and say you rely on Him? "Father, I'm not sure how I'm going to take care of college. I'm not sure how I'm going to take care of this car thing that's going on. Father, I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with all of the stuff my kids are involved with. But Father, I rely upon you, and if you show me the way to go, I'm going to learn and actually do it. I'm just not going to hear the information and go on." Allow your body to rest by removing distractions. See, we live in a culture and a day and age where we are continually stimulated. That's one reason why I brought this phone up, because I don't know about you, but I notice even myself, if you have it, what happens? You're always waiting, aren't you? Something could happen. I could get a text. I could get an email. I could look at the market right now and see how my retirement funds are going. This is really cool. Oh, I can even watch sermons on it. I mean, this is really cool. And if I don't like his, I'll go to, you know, some other person and figure it out. I mean, think about it. These things, these devices, they're continually holding us up. They hold us hostage continually. We keep it by our bed just in case someone calls. There could be an emergency. I mean, just think about that. I know some of you at work, you live on them at work all the time. It's not like you do 40 hours a week and that's enough. You have to be on call every single moment of the day. Come to me. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you realize you're overstimulated all the time? All the time. Jesus is saying, learn how to rest. Just take one day and unplug it. In fact, some of you are thinking, I could never do that. Why can't you do that? Like, seriously, are you really think you're that important? I mean, that's what it boils down to. I am the most important person in the world. If I don't have this, this shows people that I am not at the center of the world. Let it go. And if you're arguing in your head with me right now, then just take that as God's conviction that you need to deal with this. Seriously, I'm serious about this. You are not that important. They will find you if they need you. It's just a fact of life. Allow your body to rest. Remove the distractions. That may be turning off the TV. That may be not putting one in your bedroom. It may be letting go of the computer stuff. They're saying part of the trouble with Americans nowadays, we are continually stimulated all the time. If you keep this by your bedside, you will not find rest because you will look at it continually and you'll be waiting inside for it to happen. It happens to me every Saturday night. I've started to use this as an alarm clock and see, I'm sleeping next to Joyce at a little before 5. I'm up on Sunday mornings just getting ready. But I'm up at also 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock because I want to make sure I beat the alarm clock so I don't wake up Joyce. And then I'm not sure I trust this thing because it could mess with me. Isn't that how we live our lives? The uh-oh and the what for? So Jesus says, I want you to be a people that begin to just simply practice stopping. He wants you to be a people that just learn to unplug. And it's okay to unplug. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. If you go through the Gospels, have you ever noticed how often Jesus took off? And it says Jesus went out in the morning to pray, or Jesus went out in the morning to night. And every so often you'll hear the disciples go in search of him. Remember, in the midst of all of their great and amazing ministry, Jesus kept telling them over and over again, you know what? Let's go find a quiet place. You are overwhelmed and too stimulated. Come and let's just find a place to rest. Are you doing that? Do you literally, and this may sound counterintuitive for you today, do you deliberately plan for embracing God, community, and friends? And see, I think that begins by worshiping together. See, one of the things I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt is that we come in so often in the American church and we sit here and we go, how am I going to be entertained, or is the music going to be really good? And that's not the purpose of worship. Literally, the purpose of worship is coming before God and acknowledging that he is the center and you are not. And our culture tells us every single day we are the most important things that have ever been created. And Jesus is saying, no, no, no. If you want to find rest for your souls, it begins by deliberately planning for embracing God and community and friends. And I think that is done best by working or worshiping together. It's a habit. It's just what you do. Again, it's not a rule. It's just simply a wise choice. This is one of those moments where you say, okay, I'm going to come before God. I'm going to take his yoke. I'm going to literally learn, and I'm going to respond. I'm not going to argue. I will simply follow in obedience. We were designed for it. And yet we're told every single day that we're allowed to go 24/7 and there's never going to be any consequences. As some of you know, Joyce works at a neurologist, and we were even having the conversation yesterday. She said, you know what? There are more and more young people, and I liked it because we're 50 and that was a young person, having to deal with memory issues. And I really do believe part of our problem is that our memory cards are full because we have lived in such a life of information and gathering more and more busyness and more stimulation. And that was really interesting. When I was a little kid, besides my mom telling me to go out and play, I would come to her and say, I'm bored. And she'd say, so what? Real encouraging, Mom. I don't think I can be bored. You want me to achieve the most as a child, right? I need to be stimulated continually, Mom. If you really cared for me, you'd make sure I'm busy every single day of the week, every single day of the week, and Sundays and Saturdays, and I will even do doubles. Go outside and come in when the lights are on. Seriously. No. Learn to rest. Deliberately plan for gathering and worshiping together. I can remember, it may sound amazing to you, some of you know our youngest son was a prodigal. One of the most amazing things, we never in our family had the discussion about going to church. On his worst days, he was in church. Didn't even decide to argue about it because that's just what we did. There was no other alternative. You know, he never even said, hey, I'm not going today. No, you are. This is what you do. And I told you what Jed was like some of the time in church. Who cares? He came. It was part of who we were as a people. There was no argument. There was no upsetness. It was just the facts to live with. How many of you deliberately plan for worship? More and more families are getting up Sunday mornings and they're simply going, well, am I going to go today or isn't going to go today? And I understand when it's raining for 14 days and you finally get a sunny day. I mean, I'm at the point now where I've actually thought about praying for rainy days every Sunday because then you'd all come. I won't do that because that would put me over the edge. But do you realize that you and I were designed for worship? And the Father says, if you want to find rest, you need to learn to come to me, take my yoke, and learn. Literally begin to apply this stuff. Just don't have the information. It's not trivial pursuit. And it isn't a rule. But it's a really wise choice. And lastly, I hope you'll do some of this afternoon, learn the art of celebration. One of the interesting things, if you go through the Old Testament, it would really be upsetting if you're an A-type personality, because throughout the Old Testament, all the time, God is saying, now I want you to have a party. And not just the Easter and Christmas. It was continual. That was part of the worshiping. It was a day set aside where you live differently than you've ever lived the rest of the week. We had a friend in school, or in Maine, school teacher, Sundays was her correcting day. And God said, I don't want you to do corrections on Sunday. That's work. And she would go, no, I need to get it done. And she, almost every prayer meeting, she'd say stuff like this. I don't really want to be here, but God told me to come, and I'm glad he did. But every so often, he would say, and then on Sunday, I gave up being a teacher on Sunday. And God gave me more hours during the week to get this stuff done. Learn the art of celebration. Practice it with friends and family. Begin to enjoy God's good things. Great is your faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning from thee. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All of I've needed, your hand has provided. What if you begin to do that? Go look up at that song. It's on your phone, I'm sure. Where'd I put it? It's really expensive, and if I lose it, I'm going to be in real trouble. Seriously, it's gone. Anyway, see, God's even talking to us now. God is not Verizon. Okay. Learn. What if you got to the point where you really began to believe that all that you need, God has provided? Do you think you could rest a little bit? And see, the Word of God says, if my people will do this, amazing promises in the Word of God. If you will simply start doing what I've asked you to do, if you will just simply acquiesce and submit to what I've asked you to do, and please don't say that this whole sermon was about coming to church on Sunday. It's not. Please don't hear that. What the Word of God is doing here is literally saying, if you will be a people that do what I say, he says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moms, if you're looking for rest, it begins with a balanced relationship with your Father in heaven, who says, I can take that burden, that troubled child. I love him more than you do. Why don't you allow me to take him for a while so you can sleep this night? That circumstance that seems overwhelming, why don't you hand it over to me and trust that I will make a way for you so you don't need to carry that burden moment by moment and day by day? Literally, he's saying, do you realize I've designed you for a purpose? He says, 6 days a week, you run your tail off. That's how it was designed to be, but you take the time on the seventh day to live a different life. For some of you, that may not be on a Sunday because you're working, but you better take some time off throughout the week to handle that. One of the things that Scripture says, a verse that says, O Lord, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are and help us to spend them on what we should. Hear that Scripture one more time today with maybe some new ears. Not just simply that you'll learn the verse, but you'll begin to apply it, which means application in your heart, in your mind, in your life. Come, take my yoke and learn. It's your choice. It's your reward. What are you going to do this morning? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and you are a God who longs to meet us as a people. And you are a God who longs to give us rest, not just physically, but in our spirits and in our souls. That's your longing. And Father, you said, and this is how this gets accomplished. It's by learning to stop. And it's by learning to worship and making that a priority. It begins when we learn to celebrate all the good things that we enjoy. That we really begin to number our days and recognize that there is a clock going down, not to discourage us, but so that we will keep our priorities straight. You said every one of us here needs to learn how to unplug. And for some of us, we have gotten to the point where we don't believe we can because we are the center of the world in which we live in. Father, would you allow us to hear? Would you allow us to take your yoke and learn this week and deliberately begin to make choices for rest and not feel guilty about it, but just understand this is how you've made us as a people. Men and women, image bearers of God, would you speak now? In Jesus' most precious name, we ask these things. Amen.